All right, let's take time to confess our sins before this lesson so that we will be in fellowship, controlled by the Spirit so that He can teach us. Let us pray. Father, we pray that the content of this lesson will be meaningful to us and that we will be able to apply what we learn as we go through the rest of this day and throughout this week and throughout the rest of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to remember that this is a survey course of basic teachings. For greater details on any of the things that we're talking about, I refer you to the 10 original books, and those are available at this website. This course is a summary of a lot of the things that we wrote about in those books. But if you want the full story, you need to get the books themselves. Now, these can be downloaded for free, and they can also be purchased if you want nice printed copies of those. Today we're talking about lesson 15, which is idolatry and sin. Put simply, idolatry is valuing anything more than we value God, or making anything we do more important than doing God's will. Idolatry is seen as worship of idols, which can be anything that distracts us from preoccupation with God. When we focus on idols, we look away from God, and we don't need some statue or icon in front of us to do that. An example, greed. Greed is often seen as an idol. 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10 says, "People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Greed branches into all kinds of sins, such as murder, envy, stealing, lying, jealousy, slander, and hatred. This is why Paul advised Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:11, that verse follows the passage we just saw about the love of money. Paul admonished Timothy, "Flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." You see, those things represent the opposite of greed. Paul warned the Corinthians to do the same thing. "Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry." You notice the fleeing in both those passages. We looked at sexual immorality in the last lesson we did. We saw that as a prominent sin. But we want to look at sexual immorality again in connection with idolatry. Sexual sin, like greed, is frequently associated with idolatry. Ephesians 5:5 says, "For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God." Notice that a person that's guilty of impurity, or a person who is immoral, or a person who is greedy, is considered an idolater. And that, of course, featured in that, apart from the greedy, is the sexually immoral. So that person has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. We'll talk later about the inheritance of the kingdom and so forth. Sexual sin and greed, this is the point, these are idols. Choosing a path of sexual immorality or greed is tantamount to choosing a god other than the true and living God. This is the result of a search for fulfillment apart from God. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve or worship two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Solomon fell into the trap of choosing lesser gods, as we see in 1 Kings 11:4. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. And the story goes that he was not happy with his choice. And that's the book of Ecclesiastes, where you see a lot of vanity and meaninglessness. Joshua set up the choice of gods, the lesser gods, versus God for his people. He said this, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." That's in Joshua 24:15. Moses offered a similar choice. He said, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him." That's Deuteronomy 30:19. And then finally, Elijah also gave a choice. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. That's in 1 Kings 18:21. Okay, here's the point. When we chase any substitute for God, we are after some substitute, it is inevitable that we will forget God. And when we forget God, we will depend on other resources to meet our financial and physical and emotional and psychological and spiritual needs. And we will be disappointed. Our help and our protection come only from the true and living God. All right, we have some questions. Number one, what two patterns of behavior stand out as idols or false gods? Number two, what wise man chose his wife's gods over his own? Number three, Elijah gave his people a choice between blank and blank. Question four, what happens when we chase after a substitute for God? Some scriptures we have now at the end of this lesson, Romans 1:24-25. "Therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the created things rather than the Creator." Galatians 1:6, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel." And 1 Corinthians 8:4, "We know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is no God but one." Idols can be anything that take our eyes off of God. This can be a lot of things, just anything that causes us to not pay attention to God's word or to God. It's not just sinful patterns that take us away. Now that does, for sure. But it can be health. It can be finances. We can become preoccupied with any of these. Relationship problems, loss, and even success. These things can distract us from our focus on God. Even religion can pull us away from God if we are practicing self-dependence and self-righteousness. There are many things that draw us away from an awareness of and a faith in the living God. And what we want to learn is how to avoid the lure of useless imposters. And that's what we'll be seeing in future lessons. Now we have one more lesson in chapter 3 where we're currently looking at the problem of sin. Then in chapter 4 we will examine the divine resources that provide solutions for sin. Finally, in chapter 5, we want to see the actual solutions for sin. This study will provide seminal concepts pertaining to our preparation for living in God's power. Father, thank you for this lesson. Help us to distinguish those things that will pull us away from you. Help us to resist those and to stay constant in our walk with you as we work ever to get closer to you. We thank you for your sharing these things with us and sharing your life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.